What is it? Nanobodies or something like that? Yeah. No? Yeah, we're set. We're okay. You know, it is a blessing to be here tonight. And, you know, and just I know one thing that whenever I need somebody to talk to or, of course, and just find some counsel, of course, we find it in the Lord. But as a man of God, we call him Jefe, Pastor Gardner has always been my friend. You know, and he's been willing to tell me when I'm acting dumb and wrong, too. So, you know. Whenever I just need that extra, I guess, counsel and guidance, God has used him mightily in my life. There's a few men that I can look to in that way, and I thank God for your pastor and for my friend. And it's just a blessing to be here. I'm always challenged when I come here, always encouraged, always helped. When I come here, I have friends here that I've known for years, Mark Coffey and just several others, Brother Jeff Bush, that from years ago that when, you know, I started this journey with the Lord, God brought me to Peru, South America. And from there, God used that from step by step to draw me where I am today. And when I was coming back in 2017 from Egypt, I didn't expect to take 10 years to get back to the mission field in a sense. You know, it was like in my, and looking at the human perspective in a sense, I was like, God, why? As my brother's preaching about Egypt today, and I was thinking, God, why can't I return to Egypt? Several times I thought that. I know it's a spiritual thing. But really, it hits me every time somebody says that. You know, I think people ask why they want to return to Egypt. I was like, God, why can't I return to Egypt? You know, I'd ask that. It wasn't because of the leaks. I mean, they did have good food there, you know, but it was just, it would come to me. But I sensed that the Lord, he was just working to make me more like him. You know, we know the passage, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Of course, that purpose is to make us like Jesus, to conform us to his image. And I found through this time, God's blessed, and he's let me come here and glean from pastor and from the church and through different tribulation, different things. He's let us adopt little Noah, the baby, and God, you see Alex running around here, Joshua's friend. God let us lead him to the Lord and just different things as we went along the way. We find that God's will is right now, and we trust him for where he has us. And I thank God that he's letting us go to Dearborn. I was over there finding a home. God gave us a nice home. We're, you know, while there as well, I met some different pastors that want to stand next to us. But most of all, that was sweet to me was two Jordanians that just got here. I guess they're like refugees in a sense. They don't know any English. And they went to the church there in Dearborn Heights, just because it was near their house. They walked. I guess they found a church and said, hey, let's go here. And they didn't know any English, sat in the service, was talking to a gentleman there. He was trying to witness to him and talk to him and give him an Arabic Bible and found out he needed medicine. And so from that, we're talking back and forth. I was in the hospital with COVID, but I was getting over things, and he was calling me up. Hey, I need your help interpreting these people. I was like, I'm trying to sleep. You know, I'm in the hospital. You know, I wasn't real spiritual then. I wasn't saying, how art thou, or anything like that. I said, I want to sleep. You know, but thank God we talked, and through that situation, he was able to get his wife some medicine. And sure enough, when I went there this past week, you know, there they were at the church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you know, and I thank the Lord for that, just how he, you know, I'm type that just needs, I guess, clear direction from the Lord. You know, sometimes I'm like, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? Is this what you'd have me to do? And he'll shut doors for me, you know, which he did in Egypt, and he'll open up others. And then just seeing that God's hand just move in that direction was very, very encouraging to me. You know, and I rest in him that he is already preparing the way for us. He's already putting us there. He's already leading. He's already guiding. He's already preparing hearts. And by his grace, that when we get there, you'll see fruit to your account. You know, so you pray for us. This Thursday, we're heading out. As we're on the way here, Beth was going over the list. You need to help me do this. I mean, we got like a whole house full of stuff that needs to be packed. And I was like, okay. You know, because I was thinking about going to get plasma. Don't give plasma. Come help pack. I was like, all right, no plasma. You know. And so, but seriously, you know, we got a lot to do in these next few days. And so pray with us as we get this done and we get over to Dearborn Mission to see what the Lord has for us. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, in this passage here, Paul, he's wanting to encourage one of his sons in the faith. He talks about his tears. He talks about not fearing. He talks about a lot of things to encourage Timothy. And this young man in the faith, you know, he was seeing that his father in the faith was about to die. And I can imagine Timothy just being a little concerned and discouraged, maybe wondering, what's going to happen? My leader in the faith is about to die for preaching Christ, for living for him. And Paul just wants to encourage Timothy. You know, there's times, I guess, how many of you, when you've wanted to, you know, the Lord's, you're out somewhere, you hear somebody cussing, you hear somebody saying something wrong, And the Lord just tugs at your heart to say something, or maybe to be a witness, to give a tract to somebody. And He tugs at your heart, and you don't do it. You don't give Him that tract. You don't need to raise your hand, but ask yourself, has that ever happened? You know, I'd like to say it hasn't to me, but it has. There's been times where I say, well, I'm just going to...
check antibodies. We're just kidding.
It's right here, brother. It's right here.
Yeah, we can turn that back on. Such a good message.
Yeah, that was part of the message. It's part of the illustration I was going to use. Here's the lost guy I was supposed to witness to, but I didn't. Let me see here. All right, good. And so I wish I could say it hadn't happened to me in a sense. But there's times where you sense the Holy Spirit wanting you to give and tell or correct or whatever, and I missed that moment, you know, and it breaks my heart. And then there's other times where, you know, I examine my heart. Why didn't I do that? Why I beat myself up about it? And sometimes, in a sense, we're ashamed to tell people about Christ, in a sense. Why? Because of lack of knowledge. Maybe we'll think, you know, maybe you've thought this. Like, I don't know if I should tell them. I don't know a lot of the Bible. I don't know what to do. I can't do it because I don't know enough Bible, or maybe I'm not called or whatever. And sometimes you might find yourself ashamed to tell about Christ because of your lack of knowledge. Or maybe because of sin. I was at Maranatha. I grew up there at the church, and there was this guy that was serving in the church, or he was there all the time singing and just a, you know, a great man of God. But then I'm walking into the store. He had a 24-pack of Budweiser, and he's going like this, you know, trying to hide it. So in a sense, I didn't see him in church after that, you know. I didn't see him too much after that. Because why? He was ashamed because of sin in his life. And here, several times in this book, he's saying, do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed. And I pray tonight that as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is, we will not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a God that is, He is above all things. He is good. He is faithful. He is true. And we need not be ashamed of who He is, because right now in this world, we were just talking before the service, people are trying to shoot at a man that's trying to go through a crowd of protesters. They're killing each other. It's not in Egypt. It's not in Indonesia. It's not into some war-torn nation in Africa. It's right here. There's people around us that need the Lord Jesus Christ. They're scared. They're fearful of the COVID. They're fearful of all things. There's people out protesting. We're wondering, is the tribulation, are you coming, Lord, soon? I've heard it said like this. You know, we can't really preach the soon coming of Jesus, but we can preach, according to the Bible, the sure coming of Jesus. We know for sure He's coming. But we might be able to start preaching the soon coming Christ. I don't know. But either way, what is going to change this world is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to do all He can to make you not speak up and say, hey, I'm a believer. He's going to do things to make you fearful. He's going to try to keep you from in sin. So when you sin and fail, you say, well, I can't tell now because I have this indwelling sin I can't do anything about. It's a lie. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's read here, 2 Timothy 1, start in verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Watch this here. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's an interesting phrase to me, the testimony of our Lord. I don't know where else I've seen it just like that, but I thought that was an interesting way. Do not be ashamed. He didn't say be not therefore ashamed of the Lord, but the testimony of our Lord. This witness of Himself and who He is. Nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Let's pray and see how we can say I'm not ashamed of Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And God, tonight, I pray that You'd move in my heart and the hearts of others as well. Lord, I pray that You just see fit to change us through Your word, Lord, that we would say, God, I am committed to You. And when I'm tempted to be ashamed, Lord, help me to overcome so I can say I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Lord, we know there's tribulation, there's temptation, there's times where we feel like it's easy to stifle the gospel through our ways. But Lord, You are greater. You are with us. We are forgiven and justified in Christ. And Lord, we need not be ashamed of who You are. Lord, use us to make a difference in this world, even today, Lord, that will last until eternity, Lord. I pray that You just do this work in our lives. And God, if there's someone here tonight playing church that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, speak to them, Lord. Help them to see your love. Convict them of their sin that they can come to you. And ask this on in Lord Jesus. Amen. So first off, we should not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus. Why? Because you are blessed. You are blessed. How can I? Look, he's talking to Timothy. He says this. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So here he's trying to say, look, Timothy, you don't need to be fearful. You don't need to be ashamed. You have been given a gift. You know, it talks about what that gift is. He doesn't quite explain, but in 1 Timothy 4, we see the men of God going over Timothy. They're laying their hands on him, and they're saying, you are going to be committed to the gospel. Sometimes we get ordination from this part where hands and leadership put them on another leader and saying, you are committed to this. We trust that you're doing this. But also in the book of Acts, it's a time when they laid hands on people and they received the Holy Spirit. Either way, we realize that when Timothy was filled with the Spirit of God, he had a commitment, God had a plan for his life, and the men of God said, you are the man for this job. And right now, you have Jesus Christ the Lord in you through the Holy Spirit of the living God. When you were born again, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. If you don't, you are none of his. But you have him right now. And God has a task for you. You are committed to Christ. He says, I have a job just for you. There's something that you can be doing in this church. There's something you can be doing to reach the world for Jesus. You've been given a commitment from the Almighty God. You've been given a gift of God. You've been blessed in Christ. Be not ashamed. We see Timothy, he had the Spirit of God. He had a commission from God. He had the approval of the men of God. So what does he say in the next part? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He says, hey, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. Just like I talked about before, it's easier for us sometimes to be fearful, especially in this time. But he said, hey, look, you've got a gift upon you. Do not be fearful. And he says the next part, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. It says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It doesn't say ye shall receive power after you've done this, this, and this. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. When you have received the Spirit of God, guess what? You have power. You have Christ with you. And it's not just something you keep to yourself. It's something that should spread to the nations. We are to be witnesses unto him. When you look to Jesus Christ, the Lord for who he is, it's going to cause you to want to go out and be a witness and tell who he is. When you're a witness unto him, you look to Jesus, know him, then tell others about him. You have power from God. Then it says this. You have the power to be a witness. You have power to do good works. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? When you're filled with his Spirit, you have his power, but not to keep to yourself, but that you can be a bold witness for his name. Let's see what else it says. We have power to overcome tribulation, but also it says this, but power and of love, and of a sound mind. It says this in 1 John 4. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see these here working together. He says, look, you don't need fear, because you have power. And you have love. And God is love, and he is in you right now. So therefore, hey, don't be fearful, but live in who you are in Christ. And that passage there is talking about, you know, fear, you know, there's no fear in love. You look into context too, it's talking about when we stand before the Lord. There's a time that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he's pretty much saying, look, if you're living for God, you're serving him, you're going to want to see him come back. You're going to want to live for him. You don't have to be fearful when you're standing before him because you've done your work for him. You're living for him every single day. And then as you're doing that, of course, when you're tempted and tried and you have that love for Jesus, you're not going to want to give in to that sin because you love him. And so you can stand without fear. Cast out that fear. Then it says this, we also have a sound mind. When we see in Luke 8, it says this, then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You know, we see here also that we have this sound mind because we have Christ in us. You know, What should we not be ashamed of? Let's look at the next part. I love this. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. What does Jesus say about himself? He says this, before Abraham was, I am. In these unchanging times, we have the unchanging Savior. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know that he is the I am. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't know the way to go, guess what? He says, I am the way. If you don't know what truth is, guess what? He says, I am truth. In the Islamic religion, Allah is called the greatest schemer. And it says that when Jesus died on the cross, that it wasn't Jesus, because God would never do that to his prophet, but somebody was disguised to look like Jesus. And so, hence we have one of the largest religions in the world, Christianity, deceived by Allah, because that really wasn't Jesus, it was Judas or somebody else that deserved to die, but it wouldn't be their prophet. So God made somebody else look like it was Jesus. He's lying. But you know what? We serve the God that cannot lie. And hope of eternal life that was given us to this God that cannot lie. He has promised us eternal life and he cannot lie. We say, well, God can do all things. No, he can't. He can't sin. He can't lie. And that's the God that we serve. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. He says, I am the bread of life. If you're hungering for things in this world, guess what? You can taste on Jesus. You can look and taste and see that he is good. And he will fill you. He will give you a desire for things of him, not for things of this world. He says, I am the light of the world. This world is in darkness right now, but you have the light of Jesus with you. You can point others to Christ because of his testimony. And so what he's saying to Timothy in this first point here is saying, look, you have a gift. You have his spirit. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord because you are blessed. You've been given power. You've been given love. You've been given a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed. So first, we should not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We should be willing to say, I'm submitted to you for who you are. I'm blessed by your spirit. I don't need to fear, but I can walk in your power. Let's see what else it says. And be not ashamed to suffer with him. Look at verse 8 in the second part. But be thou, let's read it again. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Amen. There's a lot of things I like to partake in. Maybe a good steak. I talked about this morning at Longhorn. I like to partake of that. I like to share in tasting this, or a good cheeseburger sometimes. But not affliction. Not affliction. He says, look, be willing to suffer and partake in the afflictions of the gospel. And Paul, when he was in jail, he was writing this, and why was he doing it? He was there because he was preaching Christ. He was sharing the testimony of Jesus. He was preaching that Jesus saves. He causes into holiness for his eternal purposes. He was talking about overcoming death through the resurrection of Jesus. And he was put in prison for that because of what he preached. He preached truth, and he wasn't ashamed. And so we see here that we have to also be willing to suffer for Christ. It says, those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And when you're committed to Christ, there's going to be people that might say something against you. Right now in America, you know, there's times where you can say something. You might preach Christ. Somebody might slam the door in your face. They might say something wrong to you. They might curse you out. They might say something against the Word of God. You know, that might not be the worst thing, to be honest with you. Because in some countries, you'll be killed. But you know, I believe the days ahead are going to get a little tougher. And we right now, when the tribulation comes, when there's time to suffer, if you're not living for Jesus right now, when times get tough, when people say, are you a Christian? You're one of those ones that believe that old book. You're one of those ones that actually believes in a husband and wife should be married. You're one of those ones that believes that, you know, this sin is wrong, that sin is wrong, and this is right. You're one of those. You can say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I believe the Word of God. I believe it talks about Jesus. I believe in his testimony. I know who he is. I know who I am in him. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because he is worthy. Amen. And that's the Christ that we serve. Amen. He said, I'm not ashamed. I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to go to jail. And you know what it did? It encouraged someone else. Look at verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. You know, we read later in this passage that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Maybe Demas saw, this isn't for me. Thrown in jail?
I've been living right and doing good. Why am I getting beaten and thrown in jail? Why is this guy getting beat up and all this other stuff? Why is he looking so weak and sickly? I want to get some pleasure in the world. But you know what it did for Onesiphorus? Somebody that looked to the Lord, he says, you know what? I'm not ashamed that my friend is suffering for Jesus. You know what? I'm willing to. You know, because when you suffer for the Lord, when you go through tribulation, it encourages others. But if you fall, it can cause others to fall as well. So we got to realize that when we stand for Jesus, there's going to be suffering. Be not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus, and be not ashamed to suffer for Him. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to proclaim the Christ that is sufficient no matter the cost? Are you willing to say yes to the Lord even if others disdain your name and disdain the God that you serve? You say, yes, David. Yes, I am. Start living for Him right now. Because if you're not, if there's some things in your life that are holding you back, confess it, forsake it, and take the steps of faith today. Because when tribulation comes, when suffering comes, you might make it, but more than likely not. And I pray that we stay committed to Christ in the midst of suffering. Also, be not ashamed of the Word of God. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He's saying, here as a workman, you need not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of what? The Word of God. The Word of God. Study. You know, when sometimes when we don't know what the Word of God says and somebody asks a question, we might feel a little, you know, I don't know that. I don't know this, that, and the other. But as you find, you dig into the Scriptures, you start to see little nuggets. You start to see truths. And most of all, you start to see Jesus. You start to see Him for who He is. Because as you dig in the Word of God, it's all about Jesus. How do we know that? Because in Luke chapter 24, He said to these guys that are walking the road, hey, dummies, you didn't know that all the Old Testament speaks about Me? They're walking along. They're discouraged. And Jesus said, hey, fools and slow of heart, didn't Moses and the prophets in the Psalms speak of My death, My burial, and My resurrection? The whole the gospel is in the Old Testament. And guess what? It's in the New Testament. So when you're in the Word of God and you're studying it, you're going to see Jesus. And you're going to love Him for who He is. Do not be ashamed of the Word of God. Some may attack it. Some may say they're old fables, they're fairy tales. The Muslims will say, hey, there's things wrong in it. There's discrepancies, there are inconsistencies in the Word of God. I was in there in Egypt when I was there in this in the airport, this holding area. I was talking to Jihad in there, and we're going back and forth. And as he told his story, he said, hey, your Bible has over 100 inconsistencies and things that are wrong in it. And I said, Jihad. No, it doesn't. It does not. And this is what it says. You know, I didn't feel like fighting with him in the jail, to be honest with you. I didn't feel like him going to Allahu Akbar and blowing me up or anything while I'm in there. You know, be honest with you. But I wanted him to see that, you know what, no matter what you say, I'm going to stand on the truth. I'm going to stand on the truth. We need not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And what it'll do also, let's look in the next verse. It says, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. When you study the word of God, you're going to recognize a lie. There's going to be people that say salvation is in another way. You're going to say, no, it's not. Well, they say they're Christian, but you know what? When you study the word, you find out, no, that's not right. Some were overthrown because of the lies. Get in the Word. Get to know who Jesus is. You're going to learn right while you're here, but don't let your whole feeding and whole time of learning be right here. Get in your home and get up early in the morning and say, I'm committed to the Word of God. I want to study. I want to know who Jesus is. And when the tribulation comes, when people are talking against Jesus, when they're talking against the Word, when I'm getting ready to go for suffering, I will not fall. I will stand. So today, be not ashamed of Jesus. You have been given a gift. You have the Spirit of the living God. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He is everything. He is the I Am. He is the truth. He is the good shepherd that gave His life for the sheep. And He's also the great shepherd that rose again from the dead. And He's the high shepherd also that will return in glory. And He wants to guide you away from sin and unto Him. You've been blessed. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, and be willing to suffer for Him. to pay the cost of a life of salvation by grace through faith and following Jesus. When people attack the Word of God, be not ashamed of the Word of God, because what? This is the Word of God that was given to us as His love letter to us, but also as a letter that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is His plan. Follow Jesus. Be not ashamed of the gospel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior. And God, tonight, you've spoken through your word, Lord, not because of me, but because of what it says. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we would commit ourselves to your word, not be ashamed of your testimony. Lord, you've changed lives here. You've made a difference. And I pray tonight that we'd be committed to you to stand up for your word by your power of the Holy Spirit that's in us. We love you and ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, as the pianist starts to play, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight about wanting to be a stronger witness. Maybe the Lord spoke to you tonight about some indwelling sin that's overpowering you. Remember that you have the Spirit of the living God within you. He is in you right now. Commit yourself to Him. Maybe you want to just say, Lord, I don't want to be ashamed. I need your power and your strength through your Spirit within me. I pray, dear God, that you will help me. Pray from your seats. Lord, have you come forward. Speak to Him wherever you're at. He is the I Am. He is the light. He is our hope. He's our peace. He's our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. Know Him. Commit yourself to Him and do not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus.
Father in heaven, I thank you for the chance to hear your word preached. I thank you for blessing me as I listened. I pray, God, that you'd help us to boldly proclaim what you have done in our lives. I thank you for the word of God. Help us never be ashamed. Help us get ready for whatever is going to happen in our country. And I will give you great praise for what you're doing. We'll give you glory and honor for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you very much for being here. Where'd David go? David, you and Beth and the kids, if you want, y'all come up here. I'd like to have a word of prayer over them. Anybody I call that's nervous about coming, because David's got antibodies or cooties, you don't have to come. I'd like to invite, of course, the staff and the deacons and the World Evangelism Committee. Would you come help get these chairs? Let's put her on one side. May her on this side, because she's got her arms loaded. If y'all would come up here, we're going to have a word of prayer over them. I need a couple of microphones. I'll tell you. Have you been out here trying to witness to any Indians that live around us? Pretty hard to get through to them. Just imagine trying to get through to Muslims. They're living in a community full of Muslims, and so it's going to be a tough job, and they're definitely going to need prayer for that. Before we pray, you got your mic on, so you're let him borrow your microphone. Let her borrow a microphone, and y'all want to tell us, what can we pray for you about? Besides, David won't work and help you pack. Anything else that we can pray for you about?
I'm going to give plasma for 3 days.
Because you're getting money for it, right?
That's right.
We gave you a love offer. You don't need to go. Okay. Got anything else?
I guess just safety to getting up.
Turn
here.
That thing on for her. I don't know if everybody can hear her or not. Go ahead. Stay it close to your mouth.
Okay. Sorry. I guess just safety getting up there. And then, I don't know, just that we... I guess like the rest of the country.
How did your girls turn out so pretty with an ugly daddy like they have?
She's a real pretty woman. That's
miracles. Well, that's a good point. All right, David, what do you got prayer request wise?
Well, I think you all know that God prepare the way just like He's already done. I really just pray for some people saved and disciples. And as we're serving first out of Silver Lane Baptist, but eventually, of course, want to get our own place for the church. And
you know, tell them what it's going to cost you to rent a building for your church. You got an idea?
Not right offhand. I hadn't get checked any of the buildings while I was there. I just was looking for the home.
But what's your house rent costing you?
It's about $1,500 a month.
And it's only a small house, right?
Right.
And tell us how you're making the trip. So you leave Thursday, make it one day?
No, we're going to leave Thursday night because some of our family's helping to drive while we're driving. And so we'll spend the night there and just drive the rest of the day on Friday. We got one of those Penske trucks, just filling it up and just head up there. And we're going to go to the house that next day and clean it up and then get it set up. And so a lot of the people in the church are going to help us as well.
How many hours of travel is it?
It's about probably about 15 hours, I guess, something like that.
Last thing before we pray, you want to tell them about the work in Egypt and your guys there?
Yeah, thank the Lord for what he's doing. Gergis is still preaching Christ. Right now, of course, they're meeting in smaller group settings, so he only has 10 to 15 come on Sunday morning, then right after the afternoon service, so he's having to split the services, and on Fridays as well, so they're staying faithful. He's doing, right now, preaching online discipleship series. He's recording those and getting them online for people as well, so he's staying faithful. His wife is a blessing as well, growing in the faith. And so keep praying for them, because, of course, we've always been praying for a building there as well. So, but while they're doing that, they're working the space that they have and just staying faithful to Jesus.
All right, give the microphones back. Two ladies, y'all pick. Two ladies leading prayer. Two men leading prayer, y'all pick. And we will pray for this couple as they go. All right.
Me first.
Oh, you're the boss?
No, I'm not.
She'd been the boss for 47 years next month. Go ahead, boss lady.
Close your eyes.
What'd she say?
Close your eyes.
Dear God, I thank you so much for your love for us, for your blessings upon us. And we just pray, God, for the gates as they take off on Thursday to a brand new territory. And Lord, that you'll be with the kids as they get settled in. Be with Beth and David as they try to get the house set up and take care of kids and run all sorts of errands and not know where they're supposed to go to do this or that. I just pray, God, that you'll familiarize them with the area quickly. Lord, that they'll be able to get a church started. And Lord, that you are preparing hearts now, even now, as they're not even there, but God, that you're preparing those hearts to be a part of that church and most of all to be a part of you. We thank you for your salvation. We pray, God, that you will work in a mighty way there, and, Lord, that people will be touched. I pray especially for Beth as she's leaving her family again. And, Lord, we know it's still in the United States, but it's still a long way away. And, God, I just pray for the families as they are here, and, Lord, that you would bless them and comfort them. We thank you for your mercies on us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I just pray for Beth, and I ask that you give her patience and peace as she goes through this situation, that you grow her and that you grow the children through it. And Lord, I just ask you to give her scripture and prayers and praises and words from your Bible that you can encourage her with when she's in a distressful situation or she's lacking a little bit of faith, just wondering where they're going and what they're doing and how they're going to get it all done. Just give her strength and peace to deal with it. And just pray for the whole family as they travel this way that you've led them and give them strength to do it. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask you to protect David, Beth, and the family. Lord, just continue to bless their ministry. Lord, we lift up the ministry that they left over in Egypt, that you continue to bless and work there. And Father, as they're going up to Dearborn and especially witnessing to the people of the Muslim faith, Lord, we know that there's others up there as well that are lost, whether it be in religion, false religion, or just denial of not knowing you. Perhaps they've never even heard of you, even though it's here in the United States of America. Lord, I just lift them up to you. We just ask that you, as he preached so wonderfully tonight from your scripture, Lord, about not being ashamed. Lord, we know you're worthy. Lord, I pray for us that are here in Alpharetta and coming that, Lord, we're not ashamed of you. Lord, I pray that would be a better witness as well. Lord, we, as he said, we don't have to go to Egypt. We got them lost folks all around us right here. God, I just pray that you continue to use them, bless them. Lord, prepare a building for them. Give them safety, raise the funds. Lord, you know what they need. You've already gone ahead, and you're preparing hearts even now, God. Help them to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray.
Dear Lord, I just thank you for David and Beth, and thank you for the time I've been able to see David grow in you, and just thank you for his family and their witness, and even while they're off the field here in the States, dear Lord. Thank you for the work that they started in Egypt that is still going, and just ask that you be with it, that it'll prosper over there. Be with David and Beth as they travel now, and just touch the hearts of the people that they're going to be coming in contact with, and help open their hearts that they'll be receptive to your word, and that we'll see many souls saved from the work that they're going to be doing up there. We thank you again for what you're doing through their lives, and just be with them as they travel. Watch over them and his children. Watch over both David's family and Beth's family as they both head up there to Dearborn. And just thank you for what you're doing in their lives. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we know you hear and answer prayer. These are your children. We know that you are working in and through their lives and have been. God, they've dealt with a lot of stuff, with illness and their children and things going wrong. But you've always heard and you've always answered. And their family testifies very clearly and plainly everywhere, you are a good God. You have answered prayer and you've shown yourself powerful. God, I pray that you'd save Muslim people. I pray, God, that we will show up to visit. We'll send some of our young people on a trip and some of our men and women, and we'll go up there and we'll meet Arabic Muslim Christians that have they've gotten saved and turned to Jesus, and we're watching you transform lives. I pray for Detroit area. I pray for all of that that's going to go on up there, and I just pray, God, you'd show yourself powerful. I pray, God, that you would give them a safe trip up. Pray you'd meet the financial needs. Pray you'd just open all the doors, and we'll give you great honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank y'all very much. Y'all can give them, I don't know what you do. Just tell them to go sit down. Thank you for praying for them. This morning and tonight, you've noticed that I had a Mountain Dew. I have a refrigerator in my office. I usually keep it full of water, and I got in there, and it is all Mountain Dew. So I'm drinking water with Mountain Dew flavor, and amen. So I thank whoever did that. Thursday night's a special night. Adam Walls is going to be ordained. It's a weird time in our country, weirdest time I've ever seen. And we don't even know if anybody but us will be here. He has a couple of special people he's trying to get. But he wanted to get ordained quicker than we had. Well, he wanted ordained, but then the virus hit. But now he needs to get ordained because he hopes to be living in Taiwan in just a few months, and he needs the paperwork. So they had it on the calendar to do it in a few weeks, but we're moving it up a couple of weeks. And so would you please pray and come, and we'll start the blessing service type thing that we do with them about 4:30. I'm saying that because I don't know how many people will be here, but anyway. And so I'd really like you deacons, if you want to come, and missionaries and other ordained preachers, to come and be a part of that, and love on Adam. By the way, Adam's a tremendous young man. You know, he's I think it's called spina bifida. I'm not really positive on all that. He has a very bad leg. He has quite a few health issues. But he's been serving God since he was like 15, almost in full-time ministry. A tremendous young man. We are blessed as a church that God lets people like that come here. So please pray for him and come if you can.